Well, we want to continue our discussion. Excuse me. Continue our discussion talking about the subject of stewardship, as Brother Matthew mentioned a while ago. And you'll remember as you read your Bible, we find that when God created Adam and Eve way back in the very beginning, He created them with a purpose. And He gave them a work to do, and that, of course, was involving the keeping, the caring, overseeing the garden and the creation that God had made. We saw that just a couple of weeks ago. But there was one thing in our study a couple of weeks ago that we did not mention that goes back to that same period of time, and that is this. God also gave to them a responsibility to reproduce. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 28 that God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish," or fill up the earth. Fill up the earth. In other words, they're to fill the earth with human beings who would love God and who would worship God and who would serve the Lord God with all their heart and with all their soul. Now, in our study today, we're going to see that God has a very similar purpose for your life and my life. He has a very similar purpose for our lives as well. Now, over the past couple of weeks, we've learned how that we are called to be servants, or to be stewards, rather, of everything that God has entrusted to us. In other words, we're to be using the things that God has given us in a way that will honor and glorify Him. So many times we get blindsided and we look at all the blessings that God has given to us and we think it's all about us. But the truth of the matter is, God gave us those blessings. Certainly, we are to enjoy the blessings that God has given us. But we're to never forget that the blessings come with a responsibility. And that we're to use those blessings primarily for His honor and for His glory. And by the way, you'll never enjoy your blessings as fully as you should until you're using those blessings for God. Okay? Just keep that thought in your head. Now, as we've been going through our study, we've seen how that this thing of stewardship, it covers our material possessions, it covers our physical bodies, covers our knowledge of God's truth, covers our occupation, the jobs that God has given to us so that we can support ourselves and our families. It's the stewardship of our own selves as we give ourselves totally to God, allow Him to use us however He would see fit. And then last time we saw how that it also involves our time, how that we are to be good stewards of our time. Remember we dealt, actually it was a couple of weeks ago, but we dealt with the stewardship concerning the schedules of our lives. And you remember the schedule of our lives, there's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. And between those two bookends, there's that dash there, you know. And that's the time that we have to fulfill the opportunities and to do the things that God has for us to do. And so that brought us then to the stewardship of life's schedule. The stewardship of life's schedule. And we learned that once we have taken advantage of the opportunities to trust in Christ, to become a member of God's family, we're then given opportunities to fulfill His plan and purpose that He has for our life. In other words, we're to be good stewards of the opportunities that God gives to us. Now, on that same line, along that same line, I want us to notice that in order to do that, not only must we be good stewards of our time, but we also need to be good stewards of our testimony. To be good stewards of our testimony. And the reason why that is so important, folks, the reason why that is so important is because you can be spot on with your doctrine. You can know doctrine frontwards, backwards, sideways. You can quote all the verses to prove every doctrinal position that we hold. But here's the fact of the matter. If your life and your testimony does not match your doctrine, you will never be effective to reproduce spiritually as God desires for us to do. That's why the Lord Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to verse number 16. He makes this statement. He said, "Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Now, just very quickly, we aren't to hide our light, but we're to put our light in the place where it can shine most effectively. It's interesting, the word that the Lord used here is the word candlestick. It's the same word that is used to speak of churches in Revelation chapter 1. In other words, our light will never shine as effectively as it should if it is not in the candlestick of the church. That's where our light is to shine from. That's where it will be lifted up so it can shine the furthest. And so he says we're to let our light shine. We're to put it on the candlestick. And then he gives this admonition. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It has been calculated, I have read, that the early church had an annual growth rate. They had an annual growth rate during the first 300 years of church history. They had an annual growth rate of about 22%. Annual growth rate. Now that's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing. And this amazing growth rate was not because, it was not because the apostles were still living. And it's not because of the fact that the apostles were still going around and preaching. That's not the reason why. Rather, it was simply because of the fact that ordinary believers were simply letting their lights shine in a world that is filled with spiritual darkness. And so if our church is going to grow, if our church is going to reach out and as our Lord would have us to do, then we need to understand that we don't need to hire better pastors. And there are a lot of better ones out there. I'm sorry, you're stuck with me. But it's not hiring better pastors, not hiring more pastors. That's not the thing. The truth of the matter is, God's plan is that every believer is to be involved in this thing of ministry. Every believer is to be involved in ministry. Every believer is to be reproducing himself or herself in the church. Now, with that in mind, there are three things I want us to notice together. Three great things. Number one, there's the Great Commission. There's the Great Commission. We all know this passage probably by heart. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now this is oftentimes referred to as the Great Commission. And as we consider the text, two thoughts I want us to mention just very quickly. First of all, notice what Jesus commanded. Notice what He commanded. And there's three things that Jesus commanded His disciples to be doing. Number one, He commanded them to evangelize. He commanded them to evangelize. In other words, He commanded them to go out and to be teaching all nations. Teaching all nations. Well, what are they supposed to teach all nations? What are they supposed to teach? Well, the answer is found in the very next book. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." See, that's what we're to teach. That's the message that we are to proclaim. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And the full extent of our responsibility is made very clear. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth." You see, that's the extent of our responsibility. And so our number one thing on this list that God has given to us, we're to evangelize. We're to be taking the message of God, the message of the gospel to every person. Years ago, I met a missionary. He was actually in the Philippines. He's in heaven now. But he was in the Philippines. His name was Bob Hughes. In fact, he's the one who started the church there in Cebu, right? Gladys is out there going, okay. And so he started the church there. But I heard him make a statement one time. Here's what he said. He said, "You cannot take the gospel to the wrong address." You cannot take the gospel to the wrong address. Why? Because our command is to take the message of the gospel to every person. Doesn't matter whether they're across the street or across an ocean. Our responsibility is to take the message of the gospel to every person. We're to evangelize, number two. We're to baptize. We're to baptize. In other words, we are to bring them into the fellowship of the church. And this is vitally important because 1 Timothy 3:15 tells us this. Paul said, "If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." Well, why is that so important? Here's why. Which is, talking about the church, the house of God, it is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You see, it's important to be in a church because it's the church that holds up God's truth for everyone to see, and it's the foundation upon which God's truth has been laid. And so therefore the importance of the church is clearly evident. No believer can be what God wants them to be if they ignore or make light of the church. It is vitally important to our spiritual health and our spiritual well-being. And that's why after a new believer is planted in the church, after they're planted in the church, then comes the third thing, and that's discipleship. Now, I know there's a lot of churches, they get the order all mixed up. They evangelize, and then they disciple, and after they go through 347 weeks of discipleship, then they allow them to become a member in the church. But that's not the order God gave. And when we start changing God's orders, we need to understand there's going to be consequences. You see, if we try to disciple someone who has not been baptized, really the only thing we're teaching them is how to be disobedient to what God commanded them to do. And so the order is very important. We evangelize, we baptize, and then we disciple. We teach them all things so that they might grow spiritually strong. In other words, so that they might be more like Jesus Christ, and so that they too might be able to spiritually reproduce. Now, that's what we have been commanded, but I want you to notice who Jesus commanded. Who He commanded. Now, many times we refer to this Great Commission as the Lord's marching orders for His church. It's the church's job. It's the church's job to do that. And that's right. In fact, that's why we exist. That's why we exist as a church. But somehow we've started to think that since this is God's marching orders for the church, then personally, I am off the hook. Say, God gave this to the church. I don't have to do this. It's for the church. It's for the church. Hello, you are the church. It's not this building. As believers in Christ, we are the church. Therefore, the responsibility falls upon the shoulders of every one of us. Falls upon the shoulders of every one of us. Let me remind you, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, he's writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, "Now ye," that means every one of you in this church, talking to the church at Corinth, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." You know, when I look in the mirror, I see this old guy standing there, and I don't know where he came from. No, when I look in the mirror, actually, I see Ray Crocker, right? I see Ray Crocker. I see the whole of me. But you know what? I look at that, and I see the whole thing. I say, okay, that's my body, you know, it's all there. But I can also look at my hand and say, that's my body, right? I can look at my foot, that's my body. I can look at my arm and say, well, that's my body. It is. I can look at any other part and say, that's my... You see, all of the individual parts are my body. They are my body. And that's the very point that the Apostle Paul is making. Just as all of my parts are members of my body in particular, every member of Heritage Baptist Church is part of the body. You're part of the body. But if any one member of my body is not doing what God designed it to do, if just one member of my body is injured, or if one member of my body becomes diseased, then the whole thing is going to be affected, right? The whole thing is going to be affected. And in the very same way, if this body, I'm talking about HBC, and all of us in particular, if HBC is going to effectively carry out our Lord's commission to reach our community, Brother Ming Fai prayed that God would help us in reaching Topayu, and this is our area, this is our community, this is where we focus most of our effort. But if we're going to reach our area, and beyond that, if we're going to reach this nation, and beyond that, if we're going to carry the gospel into all the world as God has commanded us to do, then that means that every member needs to get involved. And every member needs to do their part and do their job in order that we might do what Christ has commanded that we are to do. But how is that accomplished? Well, notice number two, there's another great, and that's the great needs. There are two great needs that we need to mention here. If we're going to do what God has called us to do, there's two things that are needed. First of all, there is the need for teaching. There is the need for teaching. Ephesians 4, verse 11 and verse 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Now, my job as the pastor of the church is to perfect you. To perfect you. In other words, my job is to help you to grow and help you to mature. It's interesting that the Greek word used in this text, it's not found anywhere else in the Bible. It's not used anywhere else in the Bible. But it simply means to completely furnish you. To completely furnish you. And how is that done? How do we do that? Well, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and verse 17, all Scripture, it's given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice it, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, the bottom line is simply this: my job is to preach to you the whole counsel of God, all of God's Word, so that you might be completely and fully equipped and able to accomplish God's plan, God's purpose for your life. But what is God's plan? What is God's purpose for each one of our lives? Well, that brings us to the next thing, and that's this. There is the need, not just for teaching, but there's a need for surrender. There's a need for surrender. In other words, God has not called me to bring you to spiritual maturity so that you can sit back and impress other people with your spiritual knowledge. It's not so you can sit back and quote so many verses from the Bible. You see, that kind of knowledge, 1 Corinthians 8:1, that kind of knowledge puffeth up. It just makes you proud. Just makes you proud. And that's not what it's all about. Look again at Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Why do they need to be perfected? For the work of the ministry. Well, why does every member need to be involved in ministry? For the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. That's why we're to be doing it. God's desire is that as each of us grows in our spiritual maturity, that we might become involved in the work of the ministry. Now I realize there are some people who would think, well, you know, my ministry is that I count the offering on Sunday. That's my ministry. I count the offering. Some will say, well, my ministry is I play the piano, you know. My ministry is I lead the singing. My ministry is I sing in the choir, you see. And they say, you know, that's not ministry. None of those things are ministry. That's called service. Ministry, as you go through the Scriptures, you'll find that in the Bible, ministry always centers around teaching the Word of God. That's ministry. Ministry is taking the Word of God and teaching somebody else how to be saved or how to grow and to become what God wants them to be. In other words, ministry is when you are investing your life into the life of someone else by opening up the Word of God and showing them what God desires for them. As every member surrenders themselves to be involved in this ministry, as every member surrenders themselves to be involved in the work that God has given us to do, then the church is going to be built up. It will be a natural thing. It will be built up. In fact, the Apostle Paul, if you look there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, verse 14, verse 15, verse 16, there are actually 7 areas in which the church is going to be built up if every member is doing their part. And we'll take about an hour and go through all 7. No, I'm just going to read them to you real quick. We'll be built up in our faith. Ephesians 4:13. We'll be built up in our knowledge. Ephesians 4:13. We'll be built up in our Christ-likeness. Ephesians 4:13. We'll be built up in doctrine. Ephesians 4:14. We'll be built up in our love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. We'll be built up in our service. Ephesians 4:16. And we will also increase in our size. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Number 3, the great goal. The great goal. Great commission. Great needs. Notice the great goal. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2, the Apostle Paul writes, and here's what he says. He says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now, if you'll look at that verse very closely, you'll notice that in that verse, there are 4 generations. There are 4 generations found in that one very short verse. 4 generations there. First of all, generation number 1, God taught the Apostle Paul. That there were things that God revealed to him after he got saved on the highway going to Damascus. You remember the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians that he went down into Arabia. My personal opinion is he went all the way down to Mount Sinai. And there for about 3 years, God instructed him and trained him, taught him about the message that he was to bring. And so the Lord taught the Apostle Paul. And when Paul came back from that Bible college, where the Lord Himself was the teacher, the Apostle Paul came back and said, I know more than you know. Nah, 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 nah. Right? No, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. What did he do? The things that God had taught him, he now turns around and he puts them into the life of Timothy. So that's generation number two, by the way. That's so that Timothy could do what? So that he could then take it and invest it in the lives of faithful men. That's generation number three. So that they could take it and put it into the lives of others. That's generation four. Four generations found in that very short verse. And that was the pattern for the church at Jerusalem. That's the pattern for the church at Jerusalem. In fact, that's why we see when you study the book of Acts, you'll actually notice there are two types of math that were used in the early church. Now, some of you tuition givers, you study math, right? So this will be right down your alley. Two types of math. First of all, in the beginning, they added. That's number one. They added. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them. Addition. Added unto them 3,000 souls. Acts 2:47. We find the church is praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, this addition, you need to understand, this addition was because of the ministry of the apostles. It was because of the ministry of the apostles. But simple addition, please understand this, simple addition will never reach a world for Christ that is multiplying. Does that make sense? A church that is only adding will never reach a world that is multiplying. It's impossible. You can't do it. You can't do it. In order that the early church might do the work that Jesus Christ commanded them, there came a time in their history when they went from addition and they began to multiply. So they added, number one. Number two, they multiplied. They multiplied. In fact, you find it in Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, verse 7, the Bible says, the word of God increased, the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now listen, the reason for the multiplication was simply because every member had become a minister. That's why they multiplied. In other words, it's just not the apostles going out and adding some. No, now every member is reproducing result. They multiplied. They multiplied. Now, I know for a fact that most of you have a testimony of salvation. You have a testimony of faith in Jesus Christ, and I think most everybody here, a few exceptions, but I think most everybody here has been planted in this church. You're a member here at Heritage Baptist Church, but my question to you is, why are you here? Other than it's the best church in town, has the best pastor, right? Yeah, thank you. That'd be a good time to say amen right there. No, seriously, why are we here? Why are we here? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 18. Notice what it says. It says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. Are you a member of this body? Why are you here? Well, because God has set you here. Notice it. As it hath pleased Him. As it hath pleased Him. You see, God adds members to this body as it pleases Him. And the fact is, God has added you to this body so that you might mature, so that you might grow strong in your faith and in your knowledge of God's Word. He has added you here so that you might reproduce, that you might be bringing others into the family of God. And He's put you here so that you might disciple. That is, you might help other people to grow in the Lord so that then they can begin to reproduce, so that the church might multiply and reach our world for Jesus Christ, as He has commanded us to do. May God help that to be so. May God help us to understand why we're here, what our purpose is. May God help us to understand that we do have a responsibility, and as stewards, we will give an account for how we reproduce ourselves. And so may God help us to do it well. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Take these few...